When Alex Enan began his website nextstl.com almost a decade ago, the idea was to focus on design, development, and public policy in St. Louis. And so he has. In fact, he has been an important resource for this program. So it was with some surprise that we learned that he's folding his tent and moving on to Cincinnati. Alex has stopped packing his bags long enough to once again join us in studio to talk about this move. Alex, good to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
This is an official exit interview, I think.
I guess so. Yeah, no, I appreciate the opportunity. And yeah, it's still a bit of a, frankly, kind of a shock to me. I'm in denial that I'm leaving. So I'll deal with that on my own time. But it's nice to come on and talk about St. Louis.
You caught a lot of people by surprise. I mean, it's just a recent announcement. Why are you leaving?
Yeah, well, this is pretty easy. I'm following my wonderful wife, Katie. I've followed her numerous places, including coming here. The reason we're here is she accepted a position in the PhD program in neuroscience at Washington University in 2003. We were dating at the time, and I followed her here, and that worked out pretty well. And so I think it's probably a good move to follow her again.
So are you going to become Mr. Mom in Cincinnati?
She would really not like that. So I'm Mr. Dad. I do things dads do. I do a lot. She's a resident at Children's Hospital, and she'll be a pediatric neurology fellow at Children's Hospital in Cincinnati. And so, yeah, it's all hands on deck. And it's, you know, when I started the website, we didn't have children at all. And now we have an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 3-year-old. And it's gotten chaotic. So we'll see what happens.
What happens to the website?
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited about this, and you know I'll stay involved. I'm still will be a part owner and contribute to the website when I can. And Jason Deem of Southside Spaces on Cherokee Street and owner of Nebula is taking it over as kind of the owner and editor and publisher. So and he's one of the first people as I talk to people about the transition and finding a home for it, which is a big priority for me. I mean, it's something I've spent just countless hours and effort on, and I wanted it to continue and wanted it to find continue its purpose and not just, you know, not deviate from kind of that the civic purpose it serves. And so Jason was the first person I spoke to who came to me with a real plan of what he wanted to do with it in a way to keep people engaged and keep people informed.
You'll still have some involvement with it, though, from afar.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll do what I can and figure that out as time goes on.
What kinds of changes is he talking about?
Well, I'll let him share that. But I think what I'm excited about is I think he's going to be able to do more of the things I've wanted to do over the last few years and just got too busy to do. So I repeatedly had calls for doing more, you know, real face-to-face engagement, more political discussions, more policy initiatives, more, you know, things that directly engage people, even if it's a monthly meetup. So the community that's built around NextSTL could go face-to-face and actually do some planning and talk to each other. And I think that's something that Jason's excited about, and I hope that he'll be able to follow up on. I got to a point where I simply couldn't add more to my plate, so those things didn't happen.
I'd like to talk about some of the accomplishments that you've had over the last almost decade that you've been in business here. But there something has come up that people have wondered about with regard to your departure, and that is the fact that you'd started a Kickstarter campaign and raised a considerable amount of money. And now those investors are watching your dust as you prepare to leave town.
Well, it's exciting because, you know, from the very beginning, I started the website anonymously because I wanted the policy discussions to be just that and not about who's saying this and why are they saying it, which is not just a St. Louis thing, but we focus on that a lot. You know, it gets down to personalities too often. And so I started it anonymously, which didn't last very long in St. Louis. But the whole idea is that this is not you know, Alex's thoughts. It's a platform for civic engagement where people can come and learn more about their community and be prompted to be engaged. And so, you know, that's always been my focus, and that's what the Kickstarter is going to enable. So with that successful Kickstarter, we've been able to invest in the site, so it will continue. And I think that, you know, from the outside, you don't always see, you know, no one saw me at 1 o'clock in the morning cobbling together code to make sure the website lived another day, you know, and we were really at that point. I mean, every 6 months, there was something that broke on it that needed managing. And for the large part, it was me with some great volunteers making it survive. And it really got to the point where it needed resources to be stable. And, you know, 6 months ago or 3 months ago, it wasn't something that I was going to be able to hand off to someone. There were just too many, you know, loose ends on the design end of the website and on the technology end of the website. And so that Kickstarter frankly, probably saved the website and made it something that will live on. So I'm pretty excited about that.
There have been some suggestions, published suggestions, that maybe some people should ask for refunds.
Yeah, no one's asked. So.
Any possibility of that? I mean, do you feel maybe that's something you should do?
You know, I'm open to anyone that wants to talk about it, and I always have been. And people have invested in the site over time. And it's interesting because I've had one or two people suggest that other people would want to do that, but I've heard from no one. And so I'm focused on following through on the Kickstarter, which was, you know, outlined as being a website design change, a new logo and branding, and then all the stuff you usually get. So, an almanac from the History Museum, T-shirts, stuff like that. And so those are all among the things at my house that are going out. And so we'll fulfill everything that was meant for the Kickstarter. And like I said, it probably saved the site. I mean, it probably made it into something that can actually live on.
Well, let's do a little retrospective now and talk about some of the things you've seen during the time you've been managing the site. What stands out? What are some of the issues that you felt were most compelling, and where perhaps you might have affected change?
I mean, that's always a hard one. I people do ask for examples of, you know, something I wrote that directly related to change, and I always struggle to find that. But what I see, on a broad scale, is just much more engagement. You know, more people asking questions about why we do things a certain way in the city. More people engaged in conversations about demolition, about historic preservation, about affordable housing, and things like that. And I'm not taking credit for that, other than there's now a platform where that community can get together and talk and meet each other. And so, you know, I like to think that there are people I know that there are people who know each other now who are working on issues in the city who met kind of via the website, whether it was even a Twitter conversation or the comment section or something like that.
That would lead me to believe that perhaps many of the people who were responding to you and the website were younger people, the millennials in particular.
Yeah. You know, what's surprising is a year and a half ago, I did a reader survey. And so it's selected just by the people who replied. But I had about 300 people reply in less than a day, I think. And the results surprised me. I mean, it skewed heavily male, which wasn't too surprising to me, talking about city development, urbanism. But it was an older, wealthier group of people. I think the site has become a home for people who care about policy, who care about politics, who are involved in architecture, who are involved in real estate and development, to get a handle on how things are changing in the city and what people think. So I think there's the common perception is it's all, 25 to 30-year-old millennials who are in the city, but it's really people who were not finding that discussion in other places.
Are you finding, and have you found over these years, that attitudes here are changing, that people, you have said engagement seems to be on the upswing? Is that
something? Yeah, I think so. So I think I was either born or nurtured in me a healthy respect or disrespect for the status quo. And I think that's changed a little bit. More people are questioning why we do things and not simply sitting back and saying, that St. Louis is the city it was destined to be. And I think there's an increased awareness that the city we are and the region we are is a result of changes in participation. And, the people who show up are the ones who are listened to. And these are, some of these are small changes, but they have a big impact. So, when I first started attending preservation board review meetings in the city, it would be me and one other person there. And I remember a couple instances where we showed up and there were 18 of us and they really took notice. And you're talking about 18 people in a region of 3 million or a city of 300,000. But you start to realize you can have a significant impact just by showing up and getting a small group of people engaged. And again, I don't know that drawing that line between something that was on the website directly to an outcome is always kind of difficult. But I think we've changed the way people consider development in the city and the willingness they have to question their aldermen about decisions or their willingness to be engaged publicly.
We have a caller here who wants to wish you luck. Let's bring Elliot in, calling from St. Louis, and give him the opportunity to do just that. Go ahead, Elliot. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex. I got to say, I came to your site late, but I've always been a fan of it since I found it. And I'm sorry to see you go, but you got to follow your heart. And I wish you and your wife and your children all the success in the world. And hope you did get to read my 12-page grand scheme for St. Louis. And love to hear your comments on that. if they can be brief, but otherwise, you know, good luck in your new life.
Yeah, thanks. The other thing I'll say, I'm terrible at taking compliments, so let me take a chance to say thank you to Elliot, but also, I mean, I've received a lot of really, you know, nice messages and things since just in the last couple of weeks. I don't think I've replied to anyone, so I apologize to that. I'll get to it.
Well, you can do it. You can do it now. Over there, yeah, they're all listening.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's great. And yeah, Elliot's one of the people who has sent. He did send a manifesto about plans. I mean, he's taken it on himself to come up with a development plan and policy ideas for St. Louis. And I won't. You know, get into the details, but that type of engagement is really exciting, and providing any kind of, you know, outlet for that makes it feel like we've achieved something.
Well, you don't like compliments, but I'm going to give you a couple more that we have here. Bill tweets, good luck with the next endeavor. That's not a compliment per se, but obviously he thinks highly of you. And Chris Summers, whom we all know of Pie Pizzeria and also involved a lot of other things, writes, next STL, make me and many more, let me start that again, make me and many better, more engaged and informed citizens. So grateful for it, and Alex's commitment to St. Louis. It's the only STL site where reading the comments section makes me smarter. The community is amazing, curious, and informed.
Well, Chris, that's nice from Chris. He's a friend and a you know, someone who contributes a lot to St. Louis as well. You know, I grew up in a small town in Indiana and was always, my grandparents, my parents were always civically engaged, and it kind of was pushed to me that wherever you find yourself, wherever you live, make that place better. And so, you know, I've gone through these phases in St. Louis where you're the newcomer and you're not listened to, and then you're the newcomer who is listened to but maybe doubted or criticized, and then you're, you know, you rent an apartment, you're not a homeowner, so you're excluded from other decisions. And I've been through this process, and I think at some point, a lot of people figured, well, Alex loves St. Louis. He'll never leave. And but, you know, things happen in life, and hopefully I've contributed something. And St. Louis is a, you know, there's nothing, it's one of those things where we're being pulled in another direction but not pushed out. This is a wonderful place to live and raise a family.
And as an out-of-towner coming into St. Louis, what did you see? Was there a moment when you said, I've got to do something about this?
Yeah, I was living in Forest Park Southeast, the Grove, mm-hmm. and there were just a lot of missing conversations. And I thought that, you know, I was invited into the process in that neighborhood, and I was on a development committee and things like that. But it was, you know, the level of engagement wasn't there. The way I saw decisions being made didn't make sense to me. And so I, you know, started to, again, try to create a platform for those conversations to happen. You know, those small changes that create a neighborhood or create a street or create, you know, ultimately the city just they're hard to cover. And it's not the big things. It's not the groundbreakings and things like that I think affect our daily lives. So, so I saw that missing and kind of went from there. But, I've been through, I mean, everyone listening that cares about the city and has tried to be engaged or is currently engaged has experienced a lot of the things I have, which is, you know, you go through phases of people realizing that you're someone they should talk to, but then the first conversations are often quite condescending, frankly. They're, you know, I've had people say, well, what's your angle? You know, what committee are you trying to get on? Are you trying mm-hmm. to be on this advisory committee? I'm like, I don't want to be on a committee. I want to change the conversation in St. Louis. And I think some people didn't know what to do with that. You know, I think they assumed I would be happy being appointed to this or appointed to that. And it was simply nothing that interested me. And then you get past that, and you start to get into the conversation of, okay, well, how do we deal with this guy, or how do we have a conversation with him? And then, you know, the next phase was every time there was a complaint about a certain project, I would get a call and say, why did you tell that person to call us? And I would say, I didn't. You know, these are not – it was the grand conspiracy phase of it, that all these people who didn't like your project must have been connected to one person, you know. And you get past that, and you get engaged to a level where – people aren't so accepting. I mean, I've had the experience of having, you know, quote, civic leaders call my place of work and complain about something I wrote about policy, you know, and I've tried very hard not to make it anything personal. I usually leave names out of it and try to talk about, again, policy or projects. And, I don't know, I've been through all the phases of that. And so I wouldn't say that I haven't felt accepted, but I've been here 14 years, and I would never be from St. Louis, so to speak, and there are barriers to engagement because of that.
Did you find that some of these civic leaders and some of the politicians would try to curry favor with you to get on your good side so that you were less a critic and more of a fan?
No, I think they some of them would engage a lot. They would engage significantly. But again, I'm not sure that I don't know, maybe less so than I would think. I think to jump off from there, I think what I found really interesting are the number of people increasingly who were extremely supportive kind of behind the scenes, who were very, very happy that I was doing what I was doing, mm-hmm. But would not directly engage and not necessarily add to the conversation or you know, take it to another step.
What do you perceive?
That all sounds very vague. I'm sorry.
Well, what do you perceive as the challenges that you're leaving behind for this community?
Yeah, I think we're just getting started and towards a different level of community engagement that no longer excludes people because of where they grew up or whether they rent or they buy. I mean, you hear these conversations, especially in wards in the city, but throughout communities in the county and elsewhere. And there are too many people engaged in deciding who should be allowed to speak and who shouldn't. And this is self-inflicted a lot of times. So I've written articles about Richmond Heights, and a resident of Brentwood will chime in and say, "Well, I never really talk about Richmond Heights, but this time I was compelled to say something." And I'm like, this blows my mind, you know. Virtually no one knows the difference between the two communities or where the lines are. And people drive by these projects and shop and live in these different places, and yet they feel compelled to segregate themselves. And so, you know, I think we suffer as a result. So that process has to be opened up. And I've seen, you know, I don't think I can name someone in a real leadership position across, especially across the big organizations that cover the region, who appears to be genuinely engaged in getting public engagement first. I think we've gotten better at our public engagement processes, but it's still often the minimum that's required.
That's, you know, that's something that I've talked about in this program more than once. The fact is that who is the leader of this community?
Right.
It's so fragmented. There's no one person that can get out there with a banner on a white horse and say charge,
right.
Because there are so many individual leaders.
Well, I think it's terrible. I think we have a lot of people doing fantastic work in this community. But you look at things that were just in the news recently with issues with Bi-State and Metro. You know, there are problems that linger in our community for way too long, and there is simply no one who can stand up and say this is unacceptable. It's a problem in the region, and I think there is a growing awareness of the need to cooperate, you know, more between the city and county and elsewhere. But we have a long ways to go in one respect, but there also are tipping points where these things can happen sooner than we can imagine right now.
Well, the community is going to miss you, Alex Enan. Best of luck to you and your family in this new life of yours in Cincinnati. And we hope to hear from you through that website and blogs and whatever from time to time.
All right.
Alex Enan, best of luck to you.
Thank you so much.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.